It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door.
Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
Pat Boone here for the folks at Swiss America. Rock-solid foundations are vital in life, in business, and in finance, because in the end, only what we've built on a firm foundation will withstand the storms of life. Today, the economic storms are raging and the foundations of everything are being tested. The world economy has never looked shakier. And gold, the world's oldest and most trusted form of money, is also grabbing headlines. Now is the time to put your future on a rock-solid foundation. Swiss America will help you create an indestructible asset today. Discover the timeless truth about gold and silver by calling Swiss America or visiting online at SwissAmerica.com.
Call 800-614-7199, 800-614-7199, 800-614-7199. 800-614-7199.
And welcome back to SGNP. Darren Sutherland and my co-host up in Sevierville, Tennessee. In the cold and rainy Sevierville, Tennessee. Is it like that today, Arthur? Arthur Rice.
Man, yes, it is. I'm about to freeze to death.
Freeze? Well, you know,
I've been in Florida for 10 days. I'm about to freeze to death.
Well, I was going to ask you about that Florida trip. If you're lucky enough like me to be a Facebook friend to one of the gospel music superstars, Arthur Rice, you noticed he was in, what did you do, a 5K down there?
I did my very first 5K. I've been running through the years. My wife is a big time marathon. She runs all in half marathons and all this kind of stuff. And so it was just kind of a last minute. They had a 5K down on the beach, and I said, well, I'll go with you. So it was fun.
Well, you know what? Congratulations for your first 5K. Unfortunately, I'm like most of our listeners and most Americans. I'm more interested in the gobble jog. You know what the gobble jog is?
Yeah.
That's just Thanksgiving. We're all going to jog over to the table and gobble up as much as we can and be a glutton for one day.
That's right.
Hey, man, you know, today, I've got the opportunity, and unfortunately you couldn't be present when we interviewed, but he's a good friend of yours.
Ivan
Parker. Yeah,
I really hated to miss it. He's been a great friend over the years, and I really hated to miss it. I got home, and my water heater blew up the day we got home.
Wow!
And so I've been dealing with that, and I was in the middle of cleaning up. Boy, you know, a busted water heater running water, that'll make you clean up some junk around your house.
It will. You know, the wife and I went ahead and got one of the ours was about to bust. It was old. So we went ahead and got one of them tankless water heaters this past January. Mm-hmm. Best investment I ever made. So if you ever get a chance.
Proud of them, Martha.
So you know, what's that now?
They're proud of them.
Yeah, they are proud of them. I think we paid $2,500. I don't remember, but I know it was in January. Yeah.
I know. I told the guy when he gave me the prices, and I said, I just want one. And he didn't think that was too funny, but they are expensive. So I was stuck doing that, and so I had to get all that cleaned up. And so
you got that.
You know, the Lord held us off until we got home, and, you know, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And, you know, it's just life.
That's it. It is just life. And it's just another one of them things. And, you know, we could be like our good friends out in California right now who are suffering in the worst of ways. And a lot of them.
Well, you know, we went through that, you know, just a few years ago here in Gatlinburg at Pigeon Forge. And boy, I tell you, our heart goes out to them because we know the loss and just the pain and suffering that goes on with that. And and you know, just it's going to change people's lives just overnight. Not just the loss of homes and that sort of thing, but you know, just the little things you don't even think about. Like a friend of mine here in town is a pest control service.
Yeah.
And overnight, he lost 80% of his business.
Yeah.
Just from the cabin, you know, repairs and all that kind of stuff, and they're doing service on the cabins and stuff, and just it changed, you know. And he wasn't even in the fire, you know.
Right.
It was just his business. So,
you know,
so it just touches a lot of people.
You know, one thing's not worse than the other when it comes to these fires, but I think the worst thing that I have seen in regards to the fires, it's one thing to lose your home, to lose your car, but it's another thing when you're a grown man and you can't get a hold of your kids, your adult kids,
yeah,
or your other family members, and you're trying to reach out to them on the phone and you hadn't heard from them, and they're saying 200 people's missing. So, you know,
yeah,
I know this is Southern Gospel News Podcast, but our hearts and our prayers go out to those folks. And just like when the hurricanes hit down in Panama City, we need to remember those folks in prayer. Like I said, today we're talking to Ivan Parker. What's your... If I said Ivan's name, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, Arthur? Be it singing, be it hanging out, being it cutting up on a bus in the back room with King's Gold. What's the first thing that comes to Arthur Rice's mind when I talk about Ivan Parker?
Class.
Yeah.
Class. First class.
Yeah.
Ivan's always been first class. He just... you know, from his days with the Gold City and then doing this, his solo ministry, just first class all the way, always a gentleman.
And you know what the thing about his solo ministry is, and if you think about it, you don't even realize this. It's 20 years old now. I mean, he was breaking through before there was a Joseph Haberdink, before there was a Jason Crabb. He was before there was a Kirk Talley. Ivan was out there by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and he answers some good questions coming up in this interview. So folks will want to stick around and make sure they listen to the entire interview. He tells the story, Arthur, and I don't know if you've ever heard it, but you can hear it later when we release the show, about the first night him and Anthony and Kirk sang together. Because I kidded him. I said, Arthur, you did something Jim Hamill never did, and that was get Anthony to sing. He said, well, you know, you'll just hear the answer. It's kind of funny.
How
all that happened. Well, let's go to our historian, Jeff Turner. Take a break with him. We'll come right back with a commercial message. Then our interview with Arthur Rice right here. Not Arthur Rice. With Ivan Parker. We're talking to Arthur Rice right now. With Ivan Parker right here on SGNP.
Now, here's our announcer.
And that's the statesman's leader.
What's that name?
Hobie Lister.
And thy crisper, flakier cracker, boys, what's that name?
Premium Saltine.
Ah, you said it, so let's sing it now.
They're better baked and better wrapped.
Premium Saltine.
Nabisco's crackers in the inner sealed pack.
And welcome Premium back to SGNP. Saltine. We're going to call up on the Skype line to St. Louis, Missouri, or a suburb thereof, to our good friend Jeff Turner. Jeff, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Darren. How you doing?
Doing good. Talking to Arthur Rice today, and not Arthur Rice. Let's start this all over. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And let's go on the Skype line up to St. Louis, Missouri. Jeff Turner with Southern Gospel Memories and Pictures and Southern Gospel Videos and Pictures. You can find him on Facebook. See all his downloads. I started to get one of his downloads of Gold City and put it up this week, and I just hadn't got to it yet. Jeff, where'd you find that picture, man, and how'd they get Tim Riley to take it?
Well, I had bought that promo photo. I think Dwayne Guerin gave it to me, as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I guess those guys with just a little bit of hair all hang out together, you know?
I'm in the boat too. So.
Yeah, that's one boat I don't have to get in. You know, I got to get in a lot of boats, but that's not a boat. You know what we ought to do? We ought to tell Arthur they need to put a display in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame of toupees. You know, get one of Jake Hess's and start with him, and then get one of some other guys and start with him. What do you think? You think that'd be a good display?
That would be quite a collection, I'm sure.
I tell you who would have a weird one. Phil Cross. Because when he shows up, you never know if he's going to have a toupee on or not.
true.
It's kind of like me with a beard. You know, I'll show up with a beard 1 week and not have one the next. So, you know, depends on what the price of Gillette razors are that day.
Yep.
That's it. Hey, man, I'm talking to Ivan Parker today. And Ivan started, you know, he's out of Sanford, North Carolina. Daddy was a Pentecostal preacher, but he started with the Singing Americans. And I wanted to talk to you today. And, you know, he made his name for himself with Gold City. But, you know, the Singing Americans, Jeff, they've got quite an alumni association, do they not?
They absolutely do. You know, they started in the late 60s, but really gained prominence in the 80s when Charles Burke bought the group.
When Charlie Burke bought the group, his son, Dwayne, was a part of the group too, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was a bass singer for several years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who are some of the alumni? I know we've got Ivan, of course. Who else? Are some of the alumni.
Well, Danny Funderburk was there before he joined the Cathedrals. Then you had Ed Crawford and Wayne Maynard before they went with the Kingsmen, and then Mike Lefevre. Although he wasn't a full time member of the group, he filled in for Ed Hill when Ed was in a bus accident back in the 80s, and Mike filled in for a while for Ed. So he was actually in the group for a little bit. Clayton Inman.
Yep.
David Sutton.
Yeah.
Rick Strickland.
Yep.
Yeah.
But Buddy Burton.
Buddy Burton, and he also managed the group at the time.
Yeah.
What about same with Ed Hill? So
Michael English.
He actually known as Mike back then.
Mike English. There you go. didn't he? I know last week we had a conversation and I messed it up. So I'm not going to say this is Michael English's brother. But isn't Benny his brother? Benny English?
Biney, yes.
Biney.
He is. Yes. Didn't
he sing with the Singing Americans too?
Biney played bass for the Singing Americans for a little bit, and then he sung with the Anchorman and then the newly formed Statesman when Bill Gaither reformed the Statesman in 1992, he was the original baritone singer in that group.
Wow. What about this? I'm going to throw one out there to you. Did you know Jeff Easter was in the Singing Americans for a while?
Yes, sir. In the mid-80s, he played bass for a little bit.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I can't stump you, man. I can't stump you. Who's somebody that no one knows that sang with the Singing Americans? Give me a name of somebody out there.
Well, there was a guy by the name of Gary Heron that also sung with Jerry and the Goffs.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s. He was with the Singing Americans. Mark Flaker, who was also a tenor with the Florida Boys, was with the Singing Americans. I named Wayne Maynard. Greg Shockley was a great tenor. Phil Barker, who's still singing with Jordan's Bridge. So,
wow.
Boys like Phil Boys. Yeah.
Wow.
And the thing about it is that the members in the group didn't stay for long because they were moving on to, you know,
bigger.
I always thought of the Singing Americans as being like the minor leagues of, even though they were a professional group, they were kind of like the minor leagues of gospel music.
It was like your training ground in North Carolina was the Dixie Melody Boys, the Anchormen, or the Singing Americans.
That's exactly right.
That's funny. And you could throw Heaven Bound in there too, back with Jeff Gibson back in the day.
Yep.
I mean,
great, one of my favorites.
Some great, great folks that are. You know, Ivan also sang with Gold City. And, you know, before Ivan and Brian and Mike got there, there were some other guys that sang with Gold City. And I can't even remember their names right off the top of my head. But
Bob Oliver.
Pardon?
Bob Oliver.
Yeah.
Bob Oliver was a tenor before Brian Free. And then you had Jerry Ritchie and Ken Trussell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then after that, you had Steve Ladd came in, I think, when Ivan left. Didn't Steve come in first, or when Mike Lefevre left?
Steve Lacy replaced
Steve Lacy.
Ivan Parker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who come in for Mike Lefevre? Because out of those four, Riley, Lefevre, Parker, and Free, Lefevre left first.
Yeah, Lefevre left first. Steve Lacy came in as a baritone while Ivan was still there. And then when Ivan left, Steve moved to
the lead
position. Uh-huh.
And then David, what's his name, came in? The guy with the glasses.
David Hill.
David Hill sang with the Perrys for a while.
Sang with the Perrys, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot because I didn't put I'm not putting Arthur on the spot with this one, okay?
All right.
What's the best rendition of Gold City? Okay, you've got one of two choices. You've got Riley, Mark Trammell, Jonathan Wilburn, and Jay Parrick. Or you've got Riley, Parker, Free, and Lefevre. Who you taking?
I'll take B.
You'll take B?
Yeah. Personally?
Yeah. They were dominant. They were dominant, you know. So, they no doubt were dominant. Well, Jeff, we appreciate it, buddy. And we'll talk to you next week. Easy enough?
Thank you, Darren. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Premium saltine.
Nabisco's crackers in the inner sealed pack.
Premium saltine.
Is someone you love playing a dangerous game of Russian roulette? Hey, this is Darren, and I'm going to tell you some personal information. I've got dear friends who are addicted to methamphetamines. I've got family members who overdosed from heroin and passed away. I've got relatives who suffer alcohol addiction and are alcoholics. You've heard from Russ Taft talk about his problem with alcoholism. Addiction is a scary thing. In anywhere in the country you think about it, addiction's a big problem. Right now, the Addiction Hotline wants to help you and your family. And with the new federal Family Medical Leave Act, you can get the help you deserve. Call the Addiction Hotline today, 1-800-980-1761, 1-800-980-1761, and talk to them about the help you, your friends, or your family may need. Heck, over 43,000 people die every year from drug overdose. 88,000 people die every year from alcohol abuse. 1-800-980-1761. 1-800-980-1761. If Russ Taft can stand on stage and then later admit, hey, I've got a problem with alcoholism, you can too. Get the help you deserve, and I promise you, your heart will be so much happier for it. Not to mention your family and friends.
From God, our heavenly Father, a blessing.
And welcome back to SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast. Darren Sutherland, and on the line up in Franklin, Tennessee, is someone that is well known to not only Southern Gospel music, but Christian music as a whole. One of the legends, living legends now. And are you old enough to be called a living legend yet, Ivan? Ivan Parker on the line with us.
I like the living part.
Yeah.
That's a plus.
That is.
You know what? I don't know about the legend thing. You know, it's almost like you've always looked at legends as being old, and yeah. I don't feel old.
No.
So, I don't know. I guess putting living in front of that, I guess that'll take care of that little niche.
There you go. But you know what? When you think about it, I mean, you've been in gospel music now how many years full time?
Oh, Lord. Probably full time, let's see, 36 years?
36 years, approaching 40 years thereabouts.
So, isn't that something?
That is something. And, you know, everybody remembers you from your days, and you can't get away from this, but Gold City, those were some good days, huh?
Man, let me tell you, that was some of the greatest years that if anybody was ever pick a quartet, boy, I'm glad Arthur's not there today, but if you're going to pick a quartet to sing with, Gold City would have been the one.
That's it. That's it.
And that's from a personal level right there. But I'll tell you, those great times, great memories. God really brought some great songs into our lives. And so I can't argue about those years. They were good.
Hey, man, no doubt. You've just released a Christmas album, Christmas Dreaming. It was released October the 5th. Tell the folks about that, and then we'll get on with it.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. To be honest with you about this new project, Christmas Dreaming. And this is really probably in my mind, this whole project, the whole style of it, it's been in the making for several years because I always wanted to do something that I guess would take me back to some of that old nostalgic sound of Frank Sinatra, Andy Williams, Bing Crosby, you know, some of those old-time crooners.
Right.
You know, because that was actually, you know, around our house, you know, as a kid growing up, gospel groups didn't do Christmas projects, you
right,
know.
Right.
So that was our Christmas music. It was all these old guys. And so what this did was it actually took me back to that place to where I could actually fulfill a dream and go back and do some of that old style crooning, you know. Gary Jones, that actually played piano for Gold City for all those years,
yep.
He produced this.
Nice.
My old buddy Gary.
Yep.
And I told Gary, I said, "Hey man, I don't want any high notes on it. I don't want anything to sound like just another, you know, Southern gospel record."
Yeah.
I said, I want it to be set apart. I want it to sound different. And so we just put some of that great orchestra sound from the past, and you know, and I'm just excited because we even picked some of the songs that would stylistically lean that direction, and so it just simply turned out the way I wanted it to, and the way that I dreamed it would.
Nice. You mentioned, you know, Frank Sinatra, Andy Williams, that sort of thing. Growing up, and I know you were born in Carolina. You did you grow up in Carolina too, by the way?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Well,
grew up in a little place called Sanford, North Carolina.
Well, are you a Tar Heel? Or are you a Wolfpack? What are you? You a Dookie? What are you?
I'm a big time Tar Heel.
You're a big time Tar Heel.
Yep.
Okay, good. My daddy's from Lewisburg originally, so you know, we're on the same page. I just needed to make sure your lineage was straight before we talked anymore. But
make sure my heart was right.
Make sure your heart was right with God. Even though Duke is entertaining to watch this year with all those freshmen, I'm like you, Tar Heel Blue. But growing up there, did you ever think you would sing gospel music, or was you more interested, honestly, in potentially country or rock, or what was Ivan Parker involved in as a young man?
Well, actually, gospel from the very beginning.
Really?
Yeah. My daddy was a Pentecostal preacher, and so I grew up. I grew up in these little small Pentecostal churches, and my mama, she was the prayer warrior.
Yeah.
Everywhere we went, including us, and so really, gospel Christian music was all I ever was accustomed to listening to, because other than the Christmas music, there was always albums on the player from the Statesman,
yeah.
Blackwoods, the Lefevers, you know, that's all we listened to around our house. And so, I really didn't get a chance to even like any other kind of music.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't sneak around and listen to Conway Twitty. Didn't sneak around and listen to anybody else. It's always gospel, huh?
Yeah, it was always gospel. I didn't know who Conway Twitty was.
What about the Oak Ridge Boys? Did you know them before?
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
Huge fan of the Oak Ridge
still
Boys.
Still today.
Even still today,
yeah.
Because they started out in gospel and,
yeah.
You know, like the Imperials back in that day, the Oak Ridge Boys. See, they were all cool in that day because, you know, we weren't allowed to have long hair.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I grew up independent Baptist, so I'm right along there with you. I mean, you know.
Oh, hey, if we didn't have those sidewalls
right.
Up there around the ears, that you wasn't saved.
Right.
And so I thought it was just the coolest thing that the Oak Ridge Boys would let their hair grow long, and then they'd walk out on stage, you know, with the top buttons unbuttoned or, you know, with a cross hanging around her neck.
Right.
Man, I thought that they were cool. I mean, whenever they went country, I still listen to them, and even today, I'm just still a huge fan.
I think we all are, and I've often wondered, I've often thought of this. Gold City had the same flair the Oak Ridge Boys did in the early 70s. Gold City had it in the early 80s. Was there ever a time when you guys sat on the bus, you and Mike and Brian and Tim, and thought about crossing over, or it even became a question, or a record company ever approached you? Because you guys at that point, with songs like Midnight Cry and others, was getting played even on contemporary Christian stations at that point, and it really wasn't, it didn't happen that much for a Southern gospel group to be accepted in other places. And when you would go to churches, and I'm not just talking small churches, but mega churches, it was packed out. You were huge. I mean, you were huge, and it was even a different flair than what the cathedrals were used to. I mean, you guys were like that. But was there ever a time where y'all thought about, hey, we could do like the Oaks, or ever a thought of that?
Well, I mean, we were just a bunch of young guys. We didn't know what we had. Yeah. We just wanted to sing.
Yeah.
And sing it our way. Do what we do.
Yeah.
What we didn't realize to a great extent that we were actually setting a trend in some ways.
Yeah, you were.
And we were actually accumulating a youthful crowd,
yeah.
a youthful audience that followed us everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I think the youthful audience that sort of came with us, I think, was part of that was maybe pushing the edge toward maybe some contemporary arenas and some of the secular arenas. But you know what? We kind of all, when everything really started really booming, long about the double take.
Yeah.
Do you remember that live record we did?
Yep, yep.
When I Get Carried Away and some of those kind of songs. When that album came out, it just really caused us to soar.
Yeah.
And really sell. And so, we just kind of just decided, guys, we just need to just stay consistent, let's don't do anything crazy, let's not make any crazy decisions. Let's just stay consistent and see where this thing lands. And so, God really put a lot of great things in motion for us that just stabilized who we were.
And all four of you still have tremendous careers this day and time. And let's not even forget, with Gary on the piano, all five of you. Brian with his group, Assurance. Tim, of course, is semi-retired with Gold City, but he's there every once in a while. Mike with his own quartet now, doing a good job, and yourself and your solo ministry. You've done trios. One thing I've often wondered, Ivan, we've had the Gold City reunion. When are they ever going to have a Singing Americans reunion? Or would y'all just have to build a choir loft and put all you guys in one place?
Man, I don't think there's a stage big enough for that one. Because, I was actually just talking with a friend of mine about that Singing American, those Singing American years. And I'll never forget Charlie Burke that owned the group. He decided, he said, I'm tired of being the farm team.
Yeah.
He'd find these great singers, and they'd stay for about a year, and then they'd move on.
Yeah.
It was a great training ground.
I think about the singers that came through the Singing Americans. Yourself, Michael English, Buddy Burton, David Sutton. That's just off the top of my head. I'm sure if I looked at a list somewhere, there's more than that. That just came through. What made
Danny Funderburk.
Yeah, Danny Funderburk.
Clayton Inman.
Yep. Yeah.
And Mike Lefebvre.
Yes.
Jeff Easter.
Yeah. I forgot about you. I forgot Jeff sang with the Singing Americans. That's funny.
Yeah, he played bass.
Jeff Easter.
He played bass, yeah.
No doubt. What made the Singing Americans such a great place for so many people to get their start?
You know, that's really hard to say. I mean, they always had a good group.
Mm-hmm.
That was for sure. They always had a good group. But I think that they had a tendency to just sort of bring the new talent coming up, bring them out, and, you know, actually give them a platform to sing on. And, you know, Singing Americans always work some of the major events, and it was just a good place for a new singer to get a start.
Right.
And so that's kind of where they would get their start and then wind up being somewhere else.
Outside of gospel music, talk to me. Tell us what we'd find Ivan doing.
Oh, outside of gospel music?
Yeah.
Are you saying if the gospel music thing just never happened?
No. I'm just saying right now. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. We can't go back out for it. Take another 2 days because you tell. Well, answer that because everybody's going to want to know now. You brought it up. If the gospel music thing had never happened, what would Ivan be doing now, you think? Have you ever thought of that?
You know what? I really haven't. I've really never spent any time thinking about it. So I have no earthly idea. I don't even know how to answer that one.
All right, ask me another question. Here we go, another question. we'll shoot another one out there. We'll just drill them out there. You know, when you went solo, okay, it wasn't like it is today. Today, I mean, you've got great soloists out there that just start, Joseph Haberdink, you know, Jason Crabb. You kind of paved the way, Ivan, in a lot of senses for soloists. Was it hard when you first got started as a soloist? Because, you know, gospel's always been such a group-oriented business. It's not ever been soloist heavy. I mean, you know, you wasn't accepted in a way by a lot of folks, purist, because you wasn't in a group. But was it hard when you first started?
You know, it was very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because there really wasn't a whole lot of examples, you know, to really pull from, you know, and how do I do this, you know, how do I do this on stage? How am I going to present this, you know,
right,
to the audiences that are accustomed to hearing a quartet or hearing me with a quartet? I really, to be honest with you, didn't know whether it would work or not.
Yeah.
But I had the opportunity to do it, and I just felt like it was the right thing to do. And really couldn't explain it beyond that, but something in my spirit gave me a peace about it. And I said, Lord, if you'll just help me stay busy to where I can support my family, pay my bills, anything beyond that, you know, will be a miracle.
Yeah. Well, you've done pretty well. I mean, 20 plus years as a soloist. You must have done something right.
Let me tell you something. God took this thing a lot further than I ever could have.
Right.
And I give him all the credit because he brought Bill Gaither into my life, which the homecoming series for 18 years.
Yeah.
I mean, what a blessed platform for a soloist to land on, you know?
Yeah.
And so, hey, it's God knew what he was doing, and I was just trying to follow his lead.
If Arthur was here, I would pick on him with this question. And because you were involved in it. And I would say, what did Ivan Parker see in Anthony Berger's, in the late, great Anthony Berger's singing voice that Jim Hamill never saw? And I would say, Arthur, what do you think? But since Arthur ain't here, Ivan, tell us how you got Anthony to sing. Because, you know, back in the day, nobody never heard Anthony sing except on a little comedic routine that Hamill would get him to do. How did you figure out he could sing a decent baritone and sing back in the day with you?
Well, Everybody's got their price. So, well, you know, that little trio thing that we actually did with Kirk Talley,
yeah,
and Anthony and myself,
yeah,
that was really just an accident.
Really?
We didn't intend for that to happen, really. But we were singing in a church down in Anniston, Alabama, and they wanted us to come in and it was three soloists, you know.
Right.
Anthony played the piano, Kirk sang, I sang, you know, three individual artists, and they just wanted us to come in, you know, do a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first half of the program went a little longer, I think, than what they wanted. So the pastor came up and he said, "Hey, Ivan," he said, "y'all go back up," and he said, "instead of each of you doing, you know, a couple songs a piece," he said, "why don't y'all go up there together and just sing a couple songs and close it out in prayer. Let's go home."
Yeah.
So okay.
Everybody wanted their checks, and I said, "Yeah, let's."
Yeah, that's what he told us to do. So we went up there together, and I remember Kirk Talley standing up there going, "Folks, we ain't never done this before, and we really don't know what to do." And so, "Boys, what are we going to sing? We've never done this before. What are we going to sing?" And I just looked at Anthony. I said, "Hey, let's just do Glory Road. We'll figure out the rest later." And so Anthony kicks it off. I mean, he always had an intro right there on.
Oh, man.
I mean,
phenomenal.
Split second intro. Yeah. And he kicked off Glory Road, and we just started singing. We wound up having to sing that thing two or three times. The people wouldn't sit down.
Yeah.
I mean, it turned out, because all of us knew our parts,
right,
you know, so
that wasn't
a problem. And then the next thing you know, they just started shouting out another song, you know. And so next week, and this is the honest truth.
Yeah.
And we're standing up there. We don't know where we're headed. We're just headed somewhere.
Right.
And it was a good hour later before we finally could shut it down and say, "Folks, don't ask for any more songs. We got to stop." And we went to the bus, and I looked at Anthony and Kirk both, and I said, "I don't know if y'all noticed this or not." I said, "But I think we got something here in front of us we might need to look at."
Yeah.
And the three of us just, and so in other words, Anthony had no choice but to sing baritone because we're on stage to do do that trio. He had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And
you had one of the greatest tenor singers at that point that's ever walked in Kirk Talley.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
If you don't think Kirk is a musician musically, I always tell people, if you ever heard the man whistle when he did his solo performance, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It would blow your mind. It'd blow your mind back in the day. Did you ever come close to joining another quartet in your 20 years of being a soloist? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about putting something together or even come real close?
You know, I didn't. Because to me, it was like being with Gold City for those years, you know, it's like, why would I put another group together when I don't know that we'll ever come up to the standard Gold City was?
Right.
You know, and Brian, I mean, he's one of the greatest tenors.
No doubt.
To ever sing on the stage. And, you know, and of course, Mike Lefebvre and Tim, I mean, my Lord. So, you know what, I just really decided not to, and I was okay with that. Every once in a while, you know, I would miss the camaraderie.
Yeah.
You know? You know, and then it just kind of moved on from there, and maybe with the Gaither Homecoming Tour, you know, occasionally Bill would, he would put together a trio with me in it, or a quartet,
have right.
to come up and do a song with, you know, and, you know, so I got to scratching itch every once in a while. So that was good enough.
When we were talking a couple of months ago to your friend Lionel Harris, and we were talking about Bill Gaither, and I said, Lionel, tell me, describe Bill Gaither in one word to me. And he said, America's choir director. What makes Bill Gaither so special in Ivan's eyes and in Ivan's opinion? What separates him? Because, you know, he's one of the I've often thought songwriter first, but what a great arranger and what a great man, and some of the things that I've heard stories about him doing. But in your eyes, what makes Gaither such a great man?
You know, I think his honesty.
Yeah.
To a great degree, his honesty, because he would stand there and he would laugh about it, and he'd go, you know what, Ivan? He said, I'm not a great singer.
Yeah.
And he said, and really, I can't play much piano.
Yeah.
He said, but I know how to surround myself.
Yeah.
With those people. And he said, and on top of that, he said, I'm a pretty good promoter.
Yeah. He is.
So I always respected Bill for knowing who he was and, yeah, you know, and what his talents were.
Who's somebody you have wanted to sing with or that you wanted to sing with that you never got the opportunity, either gospel, secular, or otherwise?
Oh, wow. And I know this sounds crazy, but, I mean, I was such a huge Oak Ridge Boys fan.
Yeah.
Honestly, I always thought that'd be the coolest thing.
That would
To be able to sing with the Oak Ridge Boys, you know?
I'll ask you this because we talked about the Oak Ridge Boys two times now. We all know the story. If you've read the story and if you've read the history, and the history's been printed, and Dwayne's talked about it, and John's talked about it, and all the guys have talked about it, how they left gospel music and why they left gospel music. But, mm-hmm, Ivan, do you think gospel music would be bigger on a national platform today had they not left gospel music in the early 70s and been allowed to sing more gospel back then? I mean, they've never quit singing gospel. We know that. And we all know the story, yeah, and we don't have to get into it. But do you think gospel music would be on a much better platform? Because a lot of people say, oh, gospel music's dying out. And then I'll go to a concert and no, it's not dying out. And, you know, there's some areas, yes, Atlanta changes, big cities change, yeah, small cities change, you know, segments, demographics change. But on a national scale, because you see groups like the Ball Brothers, which most people in gospel music don't even listen to the Ball Brothers. But if you go to Wisconsin or if you go to Germany or Brazil, they're better known than the Cathedrals. So mm-hmm, do you think if they would have stuck around the Oak Ridge Boys and sang more gospel, gospel would be a lot bigger today?
You know, I don't know, because I think to a great degree what the Oak Ridge Boys did was they actually took gospel into a whole nother arena.
I agree.
And, you know, they exposed some people to gospel music, to, you know, because I remember going to see them not long after, you know, they first went country, and they were doing like Jesus Is Coming Soon.
Yeah.
You know, and some of those songs. And hey, those people, they'd have never heard those songs.
Right. Well, you know, that's,
if it hadn't been for that.
It's funny that you mention that, because our listener base, I'll tell you on this podcast, and I know just from doing demographic searches, they aren't your typical gospel music listener, but they're folks who love the gospel, so to speak, and they love the music. And you know, I always say the hardcore P1 gospel music fans are going to find us. Tell us something about, mm-hmm, Ivan Parker that the world don't know. I mean, I know you've got an awesome wife. I talked to her back in the day when we booked you years ago, mm-hmm, and she was working there in the office. Mm-hmm. Teresa, I believe, is her name.
Yep.
I get that right? Okay, God, I remembered that.
You did. You nailed it.
That's good for 20 years ago. tell us something about Ivan that not a lot of people know. What do you enjoy doing outside of the gospel music world? We know you're a Tar Heel fan. What else does Ivan Parker like to do?
Well, and I know this is really off the wall.
Yeah.
you know, a lot of people probably wouldn't ever think this in 100 years, but you know what? I love landscaping.
Really?
I enjoy coming in off the road, and if I've gotten caught up with everything in the office,
mm-hmm.
I love to go outside in my yard and get dirty.
Nice. Nice.
I enjoy stuff. I enjoy, and I think I got that from my dad a little bit, because he had a green thumb, you know. But, you know, I love taking care of my yard. You know, I think I've got a pretty yard of grass. I like it green, so I try to make it greener.
You're a fescue guy. What kind are you? Sod guy. What kind of grass guy is Ivan Parker?
Sod.
You got the easy stuff where you just lay it down.
I like instant yard.
Yeah.
You know.
That's funny. Well, buddy, we appreciate your time today. I know you're terribly busy up there in the frozen tundra of Franklin, North Carolina today.
Oh, my Lord, it's cold here.
Man, it is awful. It is awful. And you know what? Ivan, we've watched your career. You know, I know our listeners and the folks that will listen to this podcast appreciate everything you stand for. And I told you before we started this, I wasn't going to ask you about it, but just as sure as I don't, and this will be the last question, we'll close it out with this. What's Midnight Cry, the song, meant to Ivan Parker and his ministry and his legacy and everything?
You know... boy, I hope I don't want to get into a long story on this, because Midnight Cry was one of those, not just a special song,
but it was
extra special.
Yeah.
And did not and by any means realize it was the song that it was. You know, you recognize a song for being a great song, but really none of us know, you know, how far a song's going to go. Is it just going to go to number one, come down, and, you know, then release another one, you know, top 10? You know, you just don't know what's going to happen with a song. And lo and behold, this song not only went number one, but it stayed there. And then the next thing I know, over the years, this song lives on. And then breaks into the contemporary world.
Yep.
It goes number one a couple times,
right,
you know, in the contemporary world. And then whenever I was with Gaither and we did the Africa homecoming video, Bill came to me that night and he said, Ivan, he said, we've not done Midnight Cry in a long time. He said, do it. How about doing it tonight? I said, okay. And so I sang Midnight Cry. And to watch those people's faces, as soon as that intro to that song started, and I was watching those people in Johannesburg, South Africa, as their face lit up, they knew the intro to the song.
Yeah.
And then they started singing word for word what I was singing, and I'm like, I cannot believe I'm on the other side of the world and these people know Midnight Cry. And it just took me back, and so then it wound up being released in Europe, and then winds up going number one in Europe after all of those years. You know, here we are again, it's back. And so what it, I think, means to me is it gets back to the basic message of the song, and that's that God, I think God is preparing us for his soon return. You know, Christ is coming back whether we're ready or not, and we don't have a clue when that's going to be. But I think by the song being as popular today as it was in 1987 when I first recorded it, I think that tells us that the message is still alive and it's still real and it's still going to happen. And it's a very important message I think we all need to understand.
Buddy, thank you for those good words this afternoon. I think it's one of the – I told folks, somebody asked me not too long ago, what's the best gospel songs you've ever heard? I had to tell them straight up. I mean, Because He Lives, The Lighthouse, Midnight Cry, and God on the Mountain stick out to me. And Beulah Land, those five right there just stick out to me. And, man, you've done a great job, and we appreciate your time and just being candid with us, my friend. And your new Christmas album came out October 5th. People need to go get it. It's called Christmas Dreaming, Ivan Parker. You can go online. Ivan, tell them where your website is and all that kind of good stuff, how to find it, we'll get out of here.
It is easy. It's ivanparker.com. It's got our 800 number in there. The Christmas CD plus all my other CDs are available. My tour schedule is there. Go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you find our official pages there. And I promise you, you can keep up with everywhere we're going, everywhere we're planning to go, and more important, hey, get your Christmas Dreaming CD today.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Towing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are.
And great interview with Ivan Parker there. Ivan, thanks so much for being with us. Arthur, one thing that stood out in my mind that Ivan said, I asked Ivan this question, and I'll repeat it for you. I said, has there ever been a group you ever kind of wanted to sing with that you never got the opportunity to? And he said the Oak Ridge Boys. Do you think that a lot of gospel artists would like to sing with the Oak Ridge Boys? Would that be a fun thing?
Yeah, and you know, the thing about the Oaks is there's a broad range there of people that would like to sing with the Oaks either now or before.
Yeah,
you know, because they were great back, you know, when they first started. So,
right.
You know, you've got people that say, man, I would love to sung with the Oaks back then. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, are you, how come you're, being a North Carolina guy, how come you are not a member of the Singing Americans Alumni Association?
I know. I kind of missed that. I kind of missed that. Then I went straight to the Kingsman. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that was it's like the training ground for the road.
I mean, how many good friends do you have that sing with the Singing Americans? I mean, Ivan, David Sutton, I mean, Michael and Benny English. I think Benny sang with them. I'm not sure. Just on and on and on. I mean, the Singing Americans.
Danny Funderburk.
Yeah, Danny Funderburk, Dwayne Burt. I mean,
Great singers.
Great singers and great people. Arthur, something we don't talk about enough on this show, and we ought to talk more about it because you are the president of the Southern Gospel Museum Association, Music Association, and the Hall of Fame. A lot of people will be coming to Dollywood for the Christmas season. Tell the folks about the Hall of Fame and how they can get involved, and maybe they want to give somebody a gift for Christmas as a membership to the Hall of Fame. Tell everybody about it. Could you do that for me?
I tell you, we're so honored to have the Hall of Fame right there in Dollywood, and we get to present our music to the world, really, that comes through the park, not just the gospel music fans, but to the world that doesn't know anything about our music. And we feel honored to be able to present that and to present it in just the fantastic facility that we have with the museum and the Hall of Fame right there. And we're the first thing you come through the gate, and we're right there, just right at the front gate. I mean, it's one of the first things you see as you come through the park. And so we're very honored and very appreciative of Dollywood to allow us to be able to keep doing that over the years and present. To provide the building for us. Now, we are responsible for everything that's inside the building and the upkeep and our employees and that sort of thing. And so your support, the people's support, help us to pay our employees and to pay for the folks that work there. We don't have a director at this time, so we don't have anybody with a huge salary. I mean, our budget is low, and we we've had to go that way because of the fact that you know, the giving has been down, our memberships have been down, and so we need everybody's support to help us stay open and keep the doors open, present that. I tell you, a great Christmas gift that we offer through the Hall of Fame is we have out on our front porch, and maybe you've seen it. If you can't, you can go to our website, sdma.org, and you can see where our front porch has bricks in it. Well, you can buy a brick for $100,
mm-hmm.
and you can put on there, like, dedicate to your mom or dad or your wife or kids or whatever you want to, in honor of them, and we will put that brick on our front porch. It's a great way it's a great Christmas gift because, I mean, how many people would love to have something in Dollywood that has their name on it? I mean,
you know,
that's
what?
Really cool.
You have sold me. I'm going to get one with Southern Gospel News Podcast and put out
there. There you go.
Easy
there
enough.
Go.
I'll fill it out tomorrow. My producer Sydney's in here. Jonathan's off today. So, Sydney, remind me of that, and we'll get that taken care of tomorrow. And that good stuff. So, man, thanks for giving that info. We don't talk about it enough. I know we run out of time sometimes talking about everything we've been talking about. So, anyway, one last things I want to tell folks. Wherever you download our podcast from, whatever means you download it, from Apple, from your computer, from any avenue you download it, please leave a remark. Please leave us a referral. Tell folks what you like about Southern Gospel News Podcast. And please call our sponsors. We gave you the 800 numbers. Just pick up the phone. You say, who, me? Yeah, you. Because, you know, one person makes a difference. Just like one brick every week makes a difference. Does it not, Arthur?
Yep.
I mean,
absolutely.
One brick, brick a year, that's $5,200. So, you know, one sponsor call a week. So some great stuff coming up. Arthur, we messed up last week. I told you what happened. We had a great interview with Daniel Ball, and I didn't have a producer in the studio with me, and I forgot to hit the right button. And
he forgot to mash record.
We messed it up, but Daniel.
So we had a conversation.
We had a great conversation, so we'll get that taken care of next time when they get back from their Christmas tour. And we've got some great stuff coming up with SGNP, and thank the guys for that. And going to be doing a little bit more with some lot of other folks in coming weeks. So we'll be more attentive to that. Arthur, we got to get out of here. Great interview with Ivan Parker. I know the folks are going to love it. And what's the question I always ask you, Arthur? I always forget.
Hey, what's wrong with living right anyway?
Not one thing. Thanks. You listen to Southern Gospel News Podcast.
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com. To advertise your products, services, concert event, or new project on SGNP and reach a 100% guaranteed number of people in your area, call Tim Newton at 770-874-3200 or email him today, tnewton@bgadgroup.com. Let us geo-target our ads for you, something radio nor magazine can do.
Hey, this is Darren Sutherland. Before I close, I want to thank our affiliates out there, WLJA in North Georgia, KWFC in Springdale, Arkansas, the new one, The Andrew Burnett Show, heard all across the country, and online, thelightatlanta.com, playing Southern Gospel music online. We're adding affiliates every day. We're partnering with Ken and the folks over there at Gospel Music TV real soon, so we look forward to that partnership. If your gospel music entity would love to partner with SGMP, get a hold of us. It's real simple. Folks, here's the deal. We've reached out to literally every form of media in gospel music. If we've missed you, I'm sorry. But we've had great partnerships with folks like Paul Heil and others. If you haven't heard someone on the air, it's not because we hadn't reached out. We hope everyone is successful, no matter if they're a radio station, a magazine, a website, a group, whomever it is. God bless you, and let's make gospel music better than it was today, tomorrow. Easy enough?
Ever wonder how the credit card companies make their money? Well, think about this. If you owe $25,000 on five different credit cards and you make your minimum payments every month, here's what it's going to cost you. Are you sitting down? You'll shell out over $13,000 in additional interest, and it's going to take over 13 years to pay off your original $25,000 balance. That's how they make money. Now it's your turn to fight back by calling the Debt Solutions Network. We'll work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. We promise we can and will reduce your debt. Call right now for a free 15-minute debt analysis. 877-490-1207. 877-490-1207. 877-490-1207.